Welcome to a special edition of the Golf Talk Podcast brought to you by thesandtrap.com. I'm here with Donald McKenzie here in Greensboro, Georgia. How's it going, Don?
Very good. Happy to be here in Greensboro, Georgia, one of the more remote locations we could possibly be at.
It's 90 miles or so
east of Atlanta. It's beautiful. It kind of reminded me of going to Pinehurst. You know, you have to fly to a major airport and then drive an hour and a half to get anywhere close to where you're going. Very beautiful. Lots of pine trees. Sure, we'll find a few tomorrow.
Nice little section of land here with 99 holes of golf. They got more on the way. Really kind of a, like you said, an out-of-the-way place. Perhaps soon to be a mecca for golf people from Atlanta or from around the country, really.
And TaylorMade Golf Company certainly putting down some stakes here. We have a performance lab that we got to see today. Very nice club fitting outfit. And we're certainly here for a TaylorMade event, right?
That's right. We're here for the TaylorMade ball launch. The TP Red and the TP Black. TaylorMade's new balls have been announced. We have an article on our site. What can you tell us about them, Don?
Like you said, it's the TP Red and the TP Black. These are, of course, the TP stands for Tour Preferred, playing off the popular TP versions of TaylorMade's drivers and irons and wedges and whatnot. These are three-piece golf balls with urethane covers, mantle layers made out of ionomer, firm plasticky material.
A thermoset instead of the kind that you can remelt and reformulate.
That's the cover is the thermoset urethane, not the cheap store-bought remeltable urethane, but yeah, thermoset, which is a very complicated process, and they are using it for the cover, so top quality. And the ionomer mantle layer, which gives the ball its snap and its distance, and then a new core configuration, a rubber core that has neodymium in it, just like your iPod headphones, neodymium, that's the metal they're using. To bond with the rubber in the core, and they claim it makes it both faster in terms of ball speed, but also at a lower compression to keep the feel of the balls fairly soft. The difference between the two balls is that the TP Red version has a softer feel and has more spin around the greens, but it also has a lower launch off the driver for a little bit more distance.
How they managed to achieve lower launch with higher spin, I'm not sure yet, but... We'll figure that out as time goes on.
The black has a higher launch angle off all the clubs, and it's meant to also generate more spin off the full iron shots. It has overall a firmer feel. So I guess a shorthand way of looking at them would be the TP Red is kind of equivalent to maybe the Pro V1. The black is more like the Pro V1X. But in a bit of a switcheroo, Sergio Garcia, one of the staff players from TaylorMade who's playing the ball, is going to actually play the TP Red because it suits his characteristics, what he's looking for in his ball flight. So he'll be playing the Red, and a lot of other players playing the Black. Justin Rose playing the Black. They're saying it's split about 70-30 right now in terms of players choosing the Black over the Red.
That's right. They expect that to get to 50-50 or so, but at this point they're not yet ready to announce the number of tour pros that have switched or will be switching. But Sergio will be, he's been playing under the MaxFly Black Max, it's the stamping it's been under, but will be approved by the USGA, I understand, on Monday or Tuesday of this week. That's the ball Sergio will be playing in the Masters here this coming weekend.
And that's something that people maybe might not know so much about, but you have to have your ball on the USGA approved list or else you can't play it. I know Greg Norman had to withdraw from a tournament a few years ago because he was playing a prototype version of a MaxFly ball before TaylorMade owned MaxFly, because the that particular version of the ball had not been approved yet, and I believe he was maybe even close to leading the tournament and had to withdraw in the third round when it was pointed out. So what Sergio's been playing has been a version of the Black Max that has a different stamp on it with two arrows.
This little arrow or an asterisk or anything can set the ball apart.
Yeah,
but it's a way of hiding it from people that snoop on the USGA approved list to see what might be coming out or something.
Right. If you look on the USGA approved list, you'll typically see for any given ball, like if you look up MaxFly Black Max, they might have five or six different versions of it. And that accounts for the tour players playing prototypes or versions that were made but never went into production. So he's been playing a MaxFly ball that has been essentially, though, this new TP Red in a different costume.
And Sergio signed up to the whole Adidas MaxFly TaylorMade thing a number of years ago, but did not play the MaxFly ball, played the Titleist Pro V1X for a number of years. He talked about that a little bit. What did he have to say there, Don?
Well, when he went pro, he surprised a lot of people by choosing Titleist equipment but Adidas apparel and shoes, and that was a bit of a surprise since Adidas had bought TaylorMade, and so he was basically using the equipment of one company but then choosing to wear the apparel of another. You know, it'd be a bit like someone coming out of school today or turning pro and maybe choosing to wear Nike clothes but play TaylorMade clubs. So he after a couple of years, did leave behind the Titleist equipment and was going to play 14 clubs and the ball, never found a ball he was comfortable with, so played tailor-made equipment tee to green with everything but the ball. So he talked about how he had tried playing Black Max, tried playing the earlier Max Fly M3 ball, and none of them really gave him what he was looking for. But about 6 months ago, he tried the prototypes of the TP Red and TP Black, found one that he liked quite a bit, and has been using it ever since.
We've heard that he was heavily involved in the entire process of creating this ball. He didn't quite like the Black Max enough even to switch then. It's been out for a year, year and a half now. You can still buy that John Daly. Will continue to play that ball, we understand. But was heavily involved in fine-tuning the TP Red and Black to his playing characteristic. You know, there were some interesting stories where he would insist that the Pro V1X was better and that it would go farther, and yet he would hit 12 balls, six of each, and they'd hit the same exact spot short of a bunker. Another one where I was told that TaylorMade actually wrote Titleist on some Maxfly balls and gave them to him, and he hit them, and he'd go, "See, they're better!" And then they told him, and he was rather upset that he had been tricked. You know, it's a matter of confidence, and he talked about confidence, and apparently at this point he has enough confidence to put this ball into play. So TaylorMade, that was the catalyst, I believe, for them actually going under the TaylorMade name. That's what they said. Maxfly kind of viewed as the not ready for prime time, almost, you know, by way of omission, almost by saying that. But they said a TaylorMade ball, we wanted it to be the best, and we felt we couldn't announce it as a TaylorMade ball until it was ready. It's apparently ready now, so here it comes.
And definitely, this falls under a branding strategy for TaylorMade. Maxfly will now become more of a value brand, both in terms of balls and clubs. John Daly will be the face of that product line. And then the top of the line, the flagship products, will be branded TaylorMade. And that's what we have with these balls, the TP Red and TP Black. And the emphasis, certainly, in everything we heard from TaylorMade leader Mark King and everybody else from the company, was that, you know, if they're going to do something and they want to do it 100%, and they want to do it to be the best performance product they can make, and they are taking the mentality that they have given to their drivers and woods and irons and put it behind the golf ball. And so, you know, is it something that's going to take on the Pro V1 and in 2 years we're going to be talking about TaylorMade being the number one ball in golf? Probably not quite a quick win strategy like that, but it's certainly something where you've got a formidable competitor with resources and marketing savvy and product knowledge bringing a new product to market.
TaylorMade with the number one driver on the tour, the number one, they say rescue club, so that way they don't necessarily include all the hybrids perhaps, but the number one of a series of categories on tour, the number one iron or number two worldwide or whatnot. So certainly a lot of customers out there that will, if nothing else, try the ball. You know, if it's even reasonably similar performance to the Pro V1, may stick with it. So a possible big challenge. You wrote an article a couple of months ago that talked about the Titleist ball empire, so to speak, and you talked about how anyone that had to get into it had to stay in it for the long haul. This couldn't be let's try it for 3 years, and if we haven't taken over number one, we'll quit. You got to get in there and stay in there. Does TaylorMade have the staying power?
I think they do. They've got a couple of big advantages that are obstacles to other companies. They're going after, primarily with their marketing in the first place, the players who are already using TaylorMade drivers, and that's the number one driver at retail, number one driver on tour. So they have a lot of players built in terms of, you know, average golfers who know the brand, are familiar with it, have it in their bag already, and so therefore are probably going to be open to trying this product. And then second, they have all these guys on tour using the driver already. Some of them have existing ball contracts. But the ones that don't, they should be able to convince to play this ball, especially once people see that Sergio's playing it, and Justin Rose, and Hale Irwin, and other people who are very particular about their equipment. So they've got this built-in group on tour that's going to be able to use the product, and so they could very quickly, I think, become the number two ball on tour. TaylorMade is going to very quickly be the number two ball. So you've got two major hurdles right there. They're going to have a lot of people playing the ball very quickly. Do they have the staying power? I don't see why they wouldn't. Again, is this a sort of thing where you're going to overtake Titleist? Well, that's going to take a lot of time, but they are not a startup. They're certainly very well established. They have a lot of funding. They're owned by Adidas, deep pockets. They've committed a lot of resources to developing this ball. You can bet they're going to put a lot of resources behind marketing it.
They hired away Titleist ball designer?
Yep, they hired Dean Snell. They have, you know, great people on their team, and they seem very enthusiastic about some of the technology they've built with this ball, not just for what this ball does, but for where they think they can go with it in the future. The core formulations, the cover aerodynamics, they really think that, you know, this is a great ball, but it's the beginning of the process.
That's a lot of room to grow. And I remember growing up, I saw, you know, a Titleist ball has been used to win the last 57 U.S. Opens or whatever it was. And all it took was Tiger Woods to end that streak. You know, last year, Callaway wins two of the majors.
Mm-hmm.
Titleist hasn't been quite as at the top as they have been prior to about, you know, the Tiger Woods era, if anything else, or mm-hmm. Callaway's ball or whatnot. So a little bit of a crack in the seam. You know, still 80% plus market share at this point.
And the great thing that Titleist does so well too is counterpunching. I mean, you look at back in 2000 when Nike brought the Tour Accuracy and Callaway brought the Rule 35, you know, the first big companies to go with three-piece solid balls with the urethane covers. You know, within 6 months, the Pro V1 appeared. We know how that story went. I mean, it certainly was, it was a breakthrough. Everyone switched to it. And then a couple of years later, you had products like, say, the Hex Tour or some of the other innovative balls that have come out. Titleist comes right back with something as good or better. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, it's been a while since the Pro V1 and V1X have been refreshed. Maybe the next version is something that counters some of the points that Taylor made is bringing.
Okay, and tomorrow we're going to meet with Sergio Garcia. Also, we have the audio from parts of the presentation this evening. It was a very media-heavy presentation. It was very loud and kind of a mini rock and roll type of concert.
The house was rocking.
Very fun atmosphere. We will have some of that we'll be including in this podcast later. We'll also have our on-course impressions. We're going to get to play with both the TP Red and the TP Black tomorrow here at the Reynolds Plantation in Georgia. So we'll be adding that towards the end of this podcast. And if you're listening to this, well, we've published it. So enjoy.
And we're back. Before we get to our on-course impressions, we got a chance to take the ball out and play it for six holes at the Reynolds Plantation. We want to tell you about what happened Monday morning. Don's going to tell us a bit about that now.
Well, Eric, once we got out to the driving range and got our seats, we were treated to a little driving exhibition from Sergio Garcia and Justin Rose. And in addition, we also got some comedy from Dean Snell, the director of R&D for golf balls at TaylorMade. He and Sergio took turns sticking the needle in a little bit. Sergio, in particular, was a target for the very Teletubby-ish logo he has on the side stamp of his ball instead of just his name, which was source of some good humor. Then we saw both Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia test the balls, kind of give us a little example of how they would test the balls in an actual session at the TaylorMade testing facility, which they call the Kingdom. And basically what that would involve would be a player hitting hundreds of balls with their drivers, and then, you know, using that data collected from their TrackMan launch monitor to see exactly what was happening with the balls. This was a much shorter version. Each player hit, I'd say, about 10 drives, and Sergio was striking the ball very crisply. Justin Rose having not such a good day, losing most everything out to the right. Still, even just with this little snapshot, you could see how the process worked. They took turns alternating hitting between a Pro V1 golf ball and the new TP golf balls, and, you know, it certainly wasn't overly scientific, because you could say maybe Sergio and Justin were going at it a little harder when they knew they were hitting the TaylorMade ball. It wasn't a blind test by any means, but both of them picked up 3-4 miles an hour in ball speed. And both of them picked up 4 or 5 yards of carry distance. So when you factor in how much roll they probably got too, they probably picked up an extra 7 to 10 yards with the TaylorMade balls. But it's a very interesting glimpse into how the testing is done for these products, and certainly gives you an appreciation of how much work it has to be, considering that Sergio tested this particular ball for 6 months. You know, multiple versions of the prototype, hitting hundreds of balls every time he did the testing. So like I say, an interesting glimpse into how they test, how the balls work with the drivers. And then Eric, you and I went over and watched them have a little impromptu pitching contest too. How'd that go?
That's right, Don. To demonstrate the short game feel of the TP golf balls, they took the players Shane Birch, Ian Leggett, Justin Rose, and Sergio Garcia to a location 63 yards away from a green. It was a slightly elevated location, but they had them hit pitch shots. Joking about, you know, closest to the pin wins, sleeve of golf balls, things like that. Not exactly the best test or demonstration, perhaps. Pros from 63 yards, they weren't warmed up necessarily. They did okay. There were a few shots, almost none within 3 feet, though, from 63 yards. Some of them well short, 40 feet short. But the balls all stopped. They all seemed to spin and stop very quickly without getting ballooning at all or anything, if a ball can balloon in a 63-yard shot. So, an interesting thing there. I would have preferred them to show maybe some chip shots, you know, some just-off-the-green situations, some things like that, but really not enough time for that. More just an opportunity to show off what happens to be very good short games from professionals. Fortunately, after the small letdown that was the pitch-off, we were allowed to test the balls ourselves by playing. Don, what did you think of the ball?
Well, Eric, we only got to play 6 holes on the plantation course at Reynolds Plantation before we had to move on. I really enjoyed the course. We played 3 of the 6 holes we played were par 5s, which certainly was nice for banging the driver a little bit and getting to see what kind of distance these golf balls were capable of. We played the TP Red, the ball that Sergio is using. And my first drive was my best of the day. I really enjoyed that. Good 285 without a warm-up, which I enjoyed. Then, Eric, I know you hit a couple of 300-yard drives. So off the tee, the ball certainly seemed to work quite well. I wasn't striking my irons very crisply, so I can't really say that I gave the ball too much of a test there. But I did hit one shot I really liked. I hit a 5-iron under a pretty good breeze to a par 3 with water left. The ball did a great job, stayed under the wind, gave me the distance I was expecting. And basically, I think that's what players are looking for. A player who's looking for a tour-type ball is looking for consistency. It's looking for, really, the ball to do what you want it to do, what you expect it to do. Yeah, there weren't any surprises for me playing the TP Red, which is, I think, a very good thing. It was a very consistent ball. Felt good off the putter, felt good off the wedges, and I look forward to going out and playing it a little bit longer, maybe, 12 holes next time. Maybe I'll work my way up to a full 18. But very enjoyable course to play. Yeah, very impressed with the ball.
Well, the first hole may have been your best drive. It was, let's just say I tested the durability of the ball. I pulled it into the pine straw, trying to, hit the ball far. It's, you get pumped up after watching Sergio Garcia bomb him out there, 280, 290 on the fly. So I went after a little bit and ended up catching several trees several times, go for the heroic shot, hit the tree dead on, finally make it to the green to find that the ball really didn't have a scuff mark at all. So I was very impressed with that. You had one other note, though.
Eric, one other thought about the ball and how it performed. It seemed like a couple of the shots that the club pro in our group hit using the TP Red, a couple of the longer shots that he hit with his hybrids on the par 5 holes we played, seemed to balloon a little bit. But, that might just have been the way the trajectory works on these balls and the way they seem to hang in the air a little bit longer, given their dynamics, aerodynamics, that is. One of the shots that the club pro hit, again, it was about a 230-yard shot that he hit with a rescue club, and it just looked like it really caught up in the air, but the thing almost went in the hole. He almost flew it the whole way to the hole, it hit about 10 feet short, and released back 5 or 6 feet beyond the flag. So from 230 yards, it was a majestic shot, and again, it looked like it went a little bit high, but in reality, it went exactly the distance he wanted it to, and again, you want a ball that doesn't give you any surprises, and that seems to be what the TP Red, at least, gave you. No surprises, just solid performance.
No surprises. Well, I was surprised, after the first hole anyway, at the distance. You alluded to this, how far I was hitting the drives. I wasn't even catching them all very solidly on the driver. I was hitting the ball a little towards the toe all day. I carried a ball 280 or so to a hill, rolled out to past 300 on a short par 4. I was also hitting the ball really far on some par 5s. I outdrove both you and the club pro in our group on the one hole, the par 5, where I didn't really swing that hard. I was just making my normal average swing. So you're right about the club pro hitting the ball, just maybe with a little ballooning, but on the par 3, he hit a knockdown 6-iron, I believe, that really stayed under the wind, as your shot did. Perhaps he went after his hybrid a little harder and put a lot more extra spin on it that caused it to go up a little bit, but as you say, it still went the same distance. Don, what are your final thoughts on after testing the golf ball?
Eric, my final thoughts on the TaylorMade golf ball launch would be that TaylorMade is definitely playing with the big boys now in terms of golf balls. They've tried to dress the MaxFly products up the last few years and make it look like they were worthy of being considered in that same conversation with the other top tour-level balls. But, they'll admit now that Black Max, the M3, they were good balls, but they just weren't up to the same level that TaylorMade's drivers and woods and irons were up to. So I think now they have a ball that does compete on that level. It deserves the TaylorMade name because it certainly has the same ambitions as the other products in the line. They want it to be the best performance product in the category. Is it the best? I haven't tested it side by side with the other products. I'm not exactly a tour pro, so I'm probably not the person who should be making that assessment, but it certainly belongs in the discussion. There's nothing about the ball where you try it and you say, oh, it doesn't do this, it doesn't seem to work in this sort of shot. It definitely seems to be worthy of discussion with the other top balls, and that's something that you couldn't have said with previous TaylorMade golf balls. So I think they've done a good job getting the word out that these balls are real, that they have performance, and that they've got a good staff of tour players that's going to use them, and be very interesting to see what happens from here. They could very quickly become, maybe even the number 2 ball on tour just by virtue of the number of players that are using their driver. Callaway right now is the number 2 ball in play. TaylorMade's going to fight for that pretty quickly. Titleist is a long, long way in front of everybody else, but you can't win if you're not in the fight, and TaylorMade is showing that at least they're ready to roll up their sleeves and get to work on it. So with that, I'm going to sign off. Great being in Atlanta, Greensboro, Georgia, at Reynolds Plantation. I want to thank TaylorMade for having us. And Eric, good doing the podcast with you.
Now that you've heard us talk about the TP Red and the TP Black, let's hear what TaylorMade representatives had to say in their own words. We have audio from the Sunday night presentation. You're going to hear from Mark King, you're going to hear from Sean Toulon, and you're going to hear from Sergio Garcia. Mark King began the evening by talking about the new advertising campaign from TaylorMade called I Am a Golfer.
Recently, we unveiled a new advertising campaign that I believe captures the essence of a golfer. It's called simply, I Am a Golfer.
King then tries to establish TaylorMade as a leader in innovations by claiming that all companies use movable weights, a TaylorMade innovation.
The landscape for golf equipment has changed, and we changed it, and we changed it through innovation. Since then, every competitive company we have has some form of movable weight. Some actually copy it exactly, some use the same brochure, they just change the name on the top. But all companies use movable weight because it's a technology that helps golfers play better golf. That's what we're all about.
King then gets into talking about the ball and claims that the way everyone views TaylorMade will change.
And I'm here to tell you tonight, I believe this from my heart, that when our new golf ball starts to be played on tour by all these beautiful, talented professionals, and the consumer has an opportunity to play this golf ball, the way golfers view our company will change. The way these tour professionals view our company will change. The way you as customers view our company will change. The way the media writes about us will change. Because we will make a significant impact in the ball business when nobody thought we could do it.
Throughout the evening, there were a number of slight digs at Titleist. This is one of the first ones.
In 2001, then we got crazy. We said we are going to compete in the golf ball category. Very, very difficult category to compete in when one guy makes 150% of the profit in the category and the rest of the industry loses 50%. That was really smart. But we made a commitment in 2001 that we were going to do what was necessary for us to win in golf balls.
King admits the reason for getting involved in the golf ball business, his primary reason at least, came from Sergio Garcia's dad, Victor Garcia.
Why, you might ask? The number one reason for me was a conversation that I had with Victor Garcia. But he told me that the golf ball was the essence of the game. It's what you want to play. You can't play golf without a golf ball. You can play without a TaylorMade driver, you can play without an iron, you can do all kinds of different things, but you can't play golf without a golf ball.
King then gets in another dig at Titleist, we believe, by saying that change is good. The fact that change is a tradition in golf.
Over time, all things change, whether we like it or not. Things change. Things evolve. We believe change is led by innovation. If you think of the game of golf, and you think of the category of golf, a lot of people think it doesn't change much. But I'd like all of you to just think about three things for a second. Think about golf courses. The golf courses of 100 years ago versus the golf courses today. There's not many people that would say the golf courses of 100 years ago were better than the golf courses of today. Think about equipment 100 years ago. Wooden shafts, little tiny heads, balls that didn't go very far. And think about the equipment that we have today. Think of the golfer. Think of the physical difference of the golfer today versus 100 years ago. We at TaylorMade and ESL believe that change through innovation is not only good, but it's necessary.
That's not to say that Mark King dislikes rules or dislikes tradition, simply to say that he's looking to push the boundaries. In fact, he speaks on that next.
We look at the game of golf as a game where the rules are sacred, yet it's our job to continue to push the boundaries, to continue to look for new performance, to continue to look for new ways.
Many blame the distance the golf ball travels or that the driver hits the golf ball for the bad changes at Augusta this year.
This week, when the players get to Augusta National, they're going to be greeted with six new tees. For those of you that have been there for the first time, you remember the big tree in front of the clubhouse. The first tee used to be a little bit this way. It's now about three steps off of the putting green. That means that the carry to the top of the hill on the first hole is 285 yards. Best of luck to you. 6 iron into a blind green, that's nice. we don't apologize for the change. We can't. It's our job.
King gets in another dig at Titleist, saying, while others are busy whining about the rules, we're out innovating.
And a lot of our competitors, the naysayers, are complaining about the RNA or the USGA stifling innovation. We say just the opposite. We believe they haven't looked hard enough. And we believe there is so much opportunity for enhanced performance for all players, not just the elite players, but the average player, to hit the golf ball dramatically farther. More distance? And we would say, yes, we believe there's dramatically more distance available.
Sean Toulon then takes the stage and talks about validation.
Our track record, to be sure, in golf ball is not comparable to that. So we had to learn, we had to listen, and we had to get feedback. And sometimes the feedback from the harshest critics in the world is hard to hear. But the team committed to listening and to looking for new ways to solve the problems.
Toulon then interviews Sergio Garcia and asks him why he decided to join Adidas to begin with.
Sergio, tell us a little bit about why you decided to join the TaylorMade Adidas Golf Family.
Actually, Adidas, you know, I joined it since I was a professional, since 1999, but my love for Adidas started earlier than that. Coming from Spain, soccer is huge there, and Adidas is not huge, and soccer is the biggest. And of course, it was responsible for my team, Real Madrid and Boreal.
Sergio then talks about why it's so difficult for a tour player to switch balls.
Yes, as we were talking, golf ball is a very unique thing. It's a very unique piece of equipment. And, you know, a driver or an iron can be, you know, a little bit here and there, and you can sort of work around it. But if the golf ball is not perfect, you can't work with it. If you go out there and you tee up and first tee thinking, this ball, I'm not so sure about it, it's not going to work. So you have to be 100% confident that ball is the best ball you can play.
Sergio then talks about the final stage of choosing the ball, the Black Max with two arrows that Dean brought him out of a batch of five or six that he liked the best. That later became the TP Red.
The last golf ball that Dean brought you about 6 months ago or so was different. Tell us why.
He came with, I want to say, five or six different prototypes. And we tested a little bit, and probably after 5 minutes of hitting the balls, there were a couple that I liked the most. And I kept testing those two, and ended up with the Black Knights with two arrows. That's the one that fits my game the best. And
finally, Sergio gives a ringing endorsement for the TP Red from TaylorMade.
You know, I really believe and I really feel that it's the ball, the best ball out there. I could have, Mark has been great on this aspect, and he's never put any pressure on myself to switch balls, and he's always given me a lot of time, and I could play any ball I want out there, and and I want to play this ball because I really feel that it's the best.
In wrapping up, we have one final note. Sandtrap partner GolfGods.com will be carrying the TP Red and TP Black as soon as they are available in mid-May. Here's a short announcement from them.
Hi there. It's the staff of GolfGods.com with some breaking news. The most dominant golf technology company in the world has got the balls to compete at this week's Masters. Introducing the new TaylorMade TP Red and TP Black. These tour-quality urethane-covered balls generate faster ball speed and more distance than any other ball in the category, while also offering low spin off the driver and high spin off the irons. Already played on tour by Sergio Garcia and Hale Irwin, you can get them both at GolfGods.com, an authorized TaylorMade retailer and the official online pro shop of thesandtrap.com.
Thank you once again for joining us on a special edition of the Golf Talk Podcast brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Thanks for listening.